Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to our next session. We are working with those yin yang wei meridians and transforming the extra emotions, the overwhelm, apathy, guilt, shame, etc. And before we get into too much, as many of you may have already heard, and if this is your first time hearing the news, then I apologize if I don't do it quite the justice in advance that I'd like to do it. The passing of Body Talk, which is primarily the backbone of the tools that we're working with in Buddhism Butterflies, happened this morning, or pardon me, yesterday morning in the early hours of November 22nd on this 2022. So I think those numbers are an interesting time. I don't know its exact time of passing, but knowing John, I wouldn't be surprised if it was numerically significant as well. And the news is not terribly surprising in any way, shape, or form for myself. The awareness actually hit me about a week ago or so. So I gave him a little fairly well back then. And I hold a particular space around death that may not be terribly supportive to those in deep grief right now. So if you do find yourselves in a place of grief and mourning and loss in that way, one of the sources that I really, really love to share with people is a documentary called Grief Walker. And it's by the Canadian National Film Board, or I think it's just called the National Film Board. I don't even know if it's Canadian. But the National Film Board, if you just Google National Film Board, Grief Walker, and I think I've shared that resource before, but he's a really solid person that's anchored me when I've been in the deepest throes of some grieving. And I happen to find myself in a particularly apt time, as last week I spent away, as you already knew, in Calgary and spending some time with a dear friend, working through some extra layers of around actually just these topics of birth and death and tuning into what the final passing and the actual contentment and bliss and ease that happens when we do pass away. And for me, I actually see this moment as just the sweetest opportunity for John to finally have peace and to connect to that realm in a way that may not have been so available during his existence. He was quite sick most of his life. And he had a lot of burdens that weighed heavy on his heart in many ways, which is partly why we have this phenomenal system. So my deepest reverence and love for all that he suffered through to offer what we get to receive as this generous, gentle, soft energy flow of a gift, of a blessing. So there's just such a richness in that for me that I've actually spent most of yesterday evening and this morning just recalling really good, fond memories of Mr. Bell time. And there's so many times I've just giggled and laughed and had those healing opportunities in ways that weren't even connected to the actual work itself. There was just a gift that he had in his presence. And I'm really quite fortunate over the years to have spent quite a number of hours, weeks, days, I'm not sure how to count that, in his presence and with him. And he was my sole source of training in a lot of ways about some key concepts that I have never found anybody else talk about or view in those ways before. So that is a gift that I will cherish deeply, and I will continue to honor by sharing it as much and as broadly as I can, and supportively allowing those seeds of what he's offered this world a way to continue to grow and blossom and really come to new life and new spring and live on eternally. Yeah. So on that note, excuse me, I know that some of you may be in some other places with it all, and know that I'm happy to support anybody and everybody in any way that I can possibly provide that in a way that works for us all. So don't be shy to reach out if there's some way that I can further support and assist in that regard. And yeah, I'm really feeling incredibly blessed to have received the not just intellectual understandings of this work, but the embodiment of it, and the physical healing. I have said this before in different places, but it really can't be said enough, that without this work, in particular some sessions incredibly powerful that I've had from John himself, I would no longer be here. I wouldn't be alive. Through lots of varying circumstances and reasons and challenges that I faced in this body mind, and I fully credit my capacity to continue to enjoy all of life's sensual delights and challenges alike, I get the opportunity to still be here because of the work that I got to receive. So it's been the deepest of gifts and the deepest of gratitudes that I welcome that news that he finally gets to rest in peace. And I can think of no other gift that's better than that to receive. So I view death, as you may have been interpreting, as a blessing. And when it comes, I'm in no rush to get there myself. But when it arises, I will welcome it with open arms. And it's come on the backside of some really deep explorations on death, not just this last week, but started a couple decades ago, to be fully honest. So this wasn't like a last week realization that's brand new or anything along those lines. So I do, however, thank all that those pieces fell into place for me to more richly receive this news and to more richly be available to anchor and support any others that may find themselves wanting that. Yeah, I know, changed my life indeed. I'm just reading some of the chat feature comments now. And it sounds like you're all recalling, so yeah, and lots of like-minded thoughts and appreciations of appreciating his journey or the journey that you had with him. Yeah, he did indeed, Oksana. He died yesterday morning. There was an email sent out yesterday. So yeah, master numbers indeed with all of that, and my deepest love as well. Okie dokie. I will have to send you the email afterwards if you want to let me know what your email address is, and I can send it to you. In case this has invoked any other questions about body talk, I don't know any other information than you guys know in terms of what might be happening with the IBA, and that the news in the email was quite point specific around honoring, just taking this time to honor the passing, and they'll be in touch with everybody in the new year once those other pieces get relatively settled. If you can type in your email address there for me into the chat feature, if you want to receive the email, and I'll pass it on to anybody. And for anybody who's not listening live and is listening to the recording and would like the email, feel free to let me know, my goodness, and I will pass it on as well. Okay, I'm just going to blow my nose real quick. Some of the work that I did last week was a lot of rearranging some of the throat structures and the sinus and things in there. So there's been some extra phlegm moving around on me in really good ways. It's nice to release some of that. And old phlegm leaving the body is like, I think, the equivalent of almost ecstasy, I'm pretty darn sure. So you might notice just extra little bits of that transpiring. So if I have to clear my throat a little extra, you'll know what's up. And I'd like to really echo the sentiments in the chat feature as we sort of bring this portion of the time on this topic just for now to a gentle close, and we move into the session. And I'll leave it with these words, and I echo your sentiments, my hugs to everybody, my love to everybody, and know that I'm here and there's support available. And I'm definitely aware that there's lots of sources of support out there, but know that you're not alone as you walk through all that you're experiencing. Okay. All right, love. So on that note, I'm going to invite you to find a place which feels relatively comfortable for you. And as you cozy in, maybe somewhere that you can either sit or lay and be undisturbed for your session, perhaps beginning here by means of breathing. Every inhale, an opportunity to call in. To receive. To drink in life. Every exhale, an opportunity to release. To let go. To make space. And every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. And if any part of that feels pleasant, to the very least neutral, taking a moment to drink it in, to savor it, and to receive it for the nourishment that it very well may be. Then I'm going to invite you to take a moment to look around the space. And as you look around outwardly, you can also do this inwardly if you prefer. Looking for anything in particular that feels, again, pleasant, to the very least neutral. And when your gaze lands on that thing, taking a moment to notice what it is you like the most about that thing. It may be the shape, the size, the color, or anything in particular that draws your attention that even reminds you of something pleasant. And as you take time to notice that, the invitation is to actually also receive it. Every observation and opportunity to receive what's working well. Every observation and opportunity to notice the beauty that may be here, potentially in disguise, and in other ways without us looking at it. But as we pause to take it in, we get to receive it. As we drink in this nourishment, breathing it all the way in and all the way through you. And as you breathe that in, getting curious, what happens in the body as I drink this nourishment in deeply? And as you take that all in, seeing if maybe even just 1% more might be available. And thank you for this opportunity to gather here with you all today. Thank you for the richness that this opportunity affords and the sweetest of connections and all that's gone into this opportunity to connect in these ways. Thank you to your families, your villages, your ancestors, your lineages. And the deepest, richest of thank yous to all that's come before, so that we can actually take a moment to notice it, give thanks to it, and use it as a platform to step into something that might be newer, different, potential opportunity or possibility. And we get to do this in a different way now. And as you take that moment to, in a way, make peace with history, what might it set the stage for to enter something that's new, that we're not used to, perhaps? As I offer my thank yous, blessings on your journey. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Peace. Peace, peace. And as we head into today's session, working with some 12th house energy, it's the house of endings, releasing, letting go. And one of the ways that I actually learned all those information, that all that information was in a body talk course, module 6. And the reference sheet that I went to go grab is the module 6 chart. This is my original one. So the ones that you got might look a little fancier and nicer as they did some graphic design work to pretty them up a little bit. But this is my original one, still a little beat up. It survived over, 20 years now. And John credits this to being his life's work. He credits this as being his life's work when he put it all together on paper. I also think Eastern Medicine is a course which is also very richly much speaking to his deep life work as well. So you might have heard me reference that as well in other ways. And as I settle into this 12th house energy, it's actually reminding me of something about John. As I was walking the dogs today, I touched in on what it felt like to be completely carefree. What it felt like to have complete peace, freedom, ease in those ways. And there was this ease and effortless, almost like my body weighed nothing, and there was a lightness in my step as I celebrated the sunshine and the warm winter day that we had to celebrate all that's here to celebrate. And the dogs were there with me and enjoying this time in nature. So it's just this serene moment of contentment and carefreeness. And in that space, I realized, this is what surrender, letting go looks like, truly, to be on the other side of that all. And as I offer that, we're going to actually do a couple things with that. If that invokes anything for you in the body, I invite you to take your attention there. And that might invoke a restriction, a holding pattern. It might evoke a sense of celebratory joy as well. Whichever way that goes, whatever you seem to notice in the body, we're actually going to run hydration on that, bringing in water, joy, and releasing any impurities that just don't need to be there. And as we take hydration in, thinking of it as John might say, not so much of a band-aid, but an opportunity to really tap into the metaphor of what it means to drink in joy. And then we're linking that all into it's the sixth house. This is the house of discernment, intellect, awareness, making practical choices. And that actually can happen from even more readily a place of carefreeness, a place of effortlessness. What if the intellect, the working in a way that's practical and discerning, gets to arise without you having to govern or control it just as much as you thought you may have been doing? What if it actually happens even more easily from a place of surrender? As I offer that to the sixth house energy, I see the small intestine, which is the natural meridian and organ there, begin to just spontaneously unwind. There's some old torques and tensions and twists, in particular around the midline. And in the places around the midline, in particular, right where the midline of the body and the diaphragm like cross each other. And as well as the portions of the small intestine, really on either side of that, just a little bit. Okay. And then as that works, going into house 10 for its role in recognition with outward self-expression. It's also the house of Saturn, which likes to keep things really quite organized and sometimes maybe even too limited because of that. Also, on the other side of that, when we let go of the need to cling to extra structure, that's often the place where the wisdom, and in particular Saturn offers paternal wisdom, gets to enter the system. And here we're actually doing an emotional release of anxiety. And this is the type of anxiety where it's like low level, low key, always being really careful, always maybe even walking on eggshells or having to overthink things or overthink what you're going to say before you say it or overly plan what you're going to do before we do it. And as we work with that need to be careful, we're actually unhooking where you may have learned some of those first few foundational memories of caution from. We're going back into age two. And potentially at a time when you were learning to walk or run or do more things. And with it, there was this energy of like, careful, you might hurt yourself. And in the repetition of that, learning to protect your body, mind, and various different holding patterns and ways. So wherever those areas are where that careful, you could hurt yourself, landed that you receive from your caregivers are. We're actually going to increase the Wei Qi. The Wei Qi is natural, healthy protection, which will then in turn support the musculature in releasing those sort of restrictions where that unnecessary caution or carefulness might be playing out because it can now be held. The body can be held by the Wei Qi that surrounds your entire external body. In addition to protection, offering communication and synthesis. Okay, beautiful. And then we're going to tap that out here. So, invitation to offer that a few breaths in any way that feels right to you. And just giving that another breath or two. Letting that drop in just a little bit more with each breath. And then we're unhooking, it looks like a pattern of guilt, underpinning that some shame. Okay. So the shame is in the gallbladder and it's actually creating almost like a holding pattern. So the guilt is here and the shame is, imagine that you can do like a crossway sort of sit up. That's sort of like the line of tension that I'm seeing ripple through diagonally. The shame is on the left side of the head face region and also going down into the left side of the neck. And as we work with this pattern of guilt and shame, the shame in particular seems to be in the yin wei mo and the guilt in the yang wei mo. Excuse me. And we actually need to unwind them both. And as we do so, there's actually some of that excess phlegm. Imagine if you could take, like, this is a little bit gross, so. Bear with me, but imagine that you could take like phlegm, like mucus and then snot type of things, and like you know how they get hardened when they dry? And imagine applying fire to that too, and then it gets like really hardened. And it's like that's what's happening in the gallbladder. There's excess fire, which has made any of the phlegm and the mucus just way, way too sticky. Way, way too sticky. And as we work with releasing that, with cellular repair work, restoring these cells back to their fullest potential of health, we're also bringing in the planetary energy of the sun for the yang wei mo. And then for the yin wei mo, we're working with bringing in the moon to that region of the, where it's around the head, face, neck, ear. And okay, as it releases through, again, I'm sort of envisioning this energetic line connecting the two. There is a pattern in the throat region that it's sort of anchoring the guilt and the shame, and I see it primarily on the left side. Okay, and here there's the expectation of abandonment, and related to that all, the angst, the pure angst. I'm just going to call it angst, and it's summing up a lot of emotions. It's like the most intense overwhelm of trying to manage the particular violence of being treated with a silent treatment, being iced out, being silenced in a way, and also receiving silence. And then all the things that you made yourself wrong for or learned to think about yourself in the face of being treated with tremendous silence. And as we work with the abandonment theme, the neglect theme really here, and all the internalized shame and guilt that you've learned about what that was for you and how it informs how it is you perceive yourself, we also need to unhook it off of your own tongue, eyes, ears, nose, and heart alike. Okay, all five senses, and the third eye as well for that sixth sense. And as it unhooks in all those ways, the tongue has a few things that we also need to do for it to, well, basically unwind it. The tongue is a unique little juggernaut of the connective tissue system. And the fascia often, whenever we unwind fascia anywhere, is often held in a small way in the tongue, or potentially a large way. But this time I'm actually seeing it through the left side. I'm seeing various different images, kind of like chastity belts, but for the tongue, if you could imagine, a way to like put ironclad things around the tongue. And in addition to that, I'm also seeing right injected all the way through it. It almost looks like squid ink, like it's like black, but it's not representing the healthy squid ink. I'm assuming squid ink is healthy. I really know nothing about it. Shouldn't look that up. This is actually representing like poison coming through the veins, and it's actually carrying with it all that imagery, the times in which you were told you shouldn't say that, that's wrong to say. Perhaps woven in there for some of us, that's blasphemy to say that. And as we unhook that, there may even be the identities of things like, I am a sinner, I am a bad person. And there's a few different flavors happening, and I'm just going to cast the net really, really wide to be purposely vague, to catch all of them of that ilk. And as we look at those patterns, entrenched within patterns, unwinding the connective tissue of the actual tongue itself, running the permissions, you're free to speak your mind alongside of, it's safe to have your own opinions now. It's safe to have your own opinions now. And a third related one of, I know my own mind. I know my own mind. And that's actually simultaneously morphing just a little bit to include now some coverings over the entire left eye, face, head. That I'm just going to simply call layers of conditioning, layers where you were told who you should be, layers where you were told what you are, layers of how you should respond, all the shoulds essentially. And as we unwind that, it's coming off again the roots of the tongue, which is a muscle of the heart, and it actually goes all the way up, down, and around, and into the back of the heart. And the back of the heart on the left side, there's just this little anchor point. But it's again packing a bit of a juggernaut type of a, as the heart also is a juggernaut, I think of as it being 60 to 100 times stronger in its energy field compared to any other energy field in the system. It's almost like it's encasing the entire left shoulder arm as it does so, and it's preventing the capacity to receive as you were meant to. And not because you're in a female body, not because you're in a male body, but just simply the capacity to receive what is sensual and what is good. And it's almost this like guilt, shame complex of being locked into the expectation to suffer. And as we release the expectation to suffer, that cage image that I was seeing around the tongue, I'm also seeing now at the back of the heart as if it's fallen down there. And as it falls down into the back of the heart, it begins to transform. And it creates this like ball, and it's like first it becomes a ball of again like iron crossings. It looks medieval still, and then it transforms into a disco ball. And as it transforms into the disco ball, I actually just see as the heart is the also the juggernaut of harmony, and harmonizing all of this energy to create actually the opportunity to potentially celebrate, to enjoy, to take in again the goodness of life here. And as we release all of that through the system in various ways, the guilt, shame, throat, heart stuff, that whole complex, I mean, as I'm going to refer to it as, I'm going to run what's being asked to run is a Sidri for it. And I swear I can see John smiling up from the heavens on my upper left side, being like, yeah, that's the way we do it. So he's relatively in my field a lot lately, as you can imagine, with the spending of time honoring him as I have in this last while. So the Sidri is going to continue for the next 6 days. And as it rolls on through to address those complex holdings, working with the sea, circulation of all the healing resources, blood that carries our passion, nerve our communication, lymph that drains the toxins, the gunk, the waste, the low self-esteem, the overthinking, the overanalyzing. And as we work with blood, nerve, lymph, also bringing in chi, vitality, consciousness, or awareness, right down into the little guys. The electrons, protons, solitons, neutrons. Also working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor. Endorphins, hormones, and endocannabinoids that lower inflammation, lower anxiety, lower depression, help our nervous and our immune system alike to heal. Okay, and as that all circulates, balancing yin and yang. And bringing in feminine and masculine, and bringing in hydration. And as I balance the yin and yang, feminine, masculine, in particular, nodding to the yin and the yang wei mo meridians to synthesize the internal and the external to the point where the walls between the two might begin to blend and disappear, perhaps in a way that invites us to notice that what's out there happens in here, what's in here happens out there, just a little bit more richly and deeply. And then, as we carry on with the Sidri, running the D for defrag, much like a computer defrag or a spring clean, taking out the clutter of all that doesn't need to be here, then what remains can be readily reorganized and utilized for healing. Then all of the R's. Reevaluation, recontextualization, reprioritization, getting out of rock and hard place type of thinking, opening up to possibilities where it may have seemed like there was none before. Then integration, introspection, shift the underlying consciousness, perhaps thinking of this as the release, the surrender, the letting go. Okay, and as it all runs, we're also going to run circulation of all those same healing resources through the solar plexus chakra to help literally digest all of this, as well as to support some of that gallbladder stuff that came up earlier. And as that continues to do its magic in its way, at the same time, I see it's a little bit fainter than the other imagery that I was seeing, but it's here. So in parallel, there's like little buttons on the very top upper lobes of the lungs, and I actually see them as also simultaneously those upper lobes of the lungs, being like little mountain tops. And as we work with this imagery, it's carrying with it the energy of having to like hold it all together out of a fear of not being able to like navigate or have the sense of being able to trust, information that's coming in and how to act on it as a way to navigate your life. Like, what do I do here? How do I make that decision? Think gallbladder stuff. Think decision making, as they're one and the same. And those buttons, as we begin to work with them, okay, the one on the left side is holding on to shame, and the one on the right side is anxiety, and it's holding the energy of, did I do enough? Did I do enough? Did I offer enough? Did I give enough life? Did I, thinking lungs now, did I give enough life? Did I give enough vitality? Did I circulate enough energy? Did I embrace those new opportunities and adventures as the lungs send us on? Enough. Yeah. And as we work with this, perhaps offering this to John, as he may already know this in his infinite wisdom and where he is right now. The words, you get to breathe easy, you get to rest easy in this breath. Breathe easy and rest easy in this breath now. And it's defined by the consciousness of, if you can imagine breath, and sometimes when it's really restricted, feeling like a cage, moving from those cages, the other imagery, moving from the cage to sanctuary. To it being potentially a place where it can now actually be used as a mountain top. And you get to potentially be on that peak, that soaring, the capacity that it offers. I always think of mountain tops as being something that you like soar up to, as I see birds fly up there all the time and land on them without any seeming effort, as the wind just magically carries them up. I'm sure there's a little bit more that goes into that from the bird's perspective than my own. And as we work with this all, working with lymphatic circulation through those upper lobes of the lungs, as well as the thoracic inlet diaphragm. And then I just have the image of the thoracic inlet diaphragm transforming into like the soft green lily pad, like becoming a really soft landing pad, giving you a soft place to land after potentially the journey of soaring, after the journey of rising, after the journey of climbing your own personal mountaintops, your own personal struggles, after you've traversed the struggle of, have I done enough, said enough, offered enough? And as that lands, lots of nature imagery today. I'm seeing through the SCM muscles, tree trunks begin to rise, and through the carotid arteries, seeing rivers flow. And as there's new life through the SCM muscles, representing this tree trunk, wood element, and new beginnings. So too does the river of life, the water in the carotid artery, begin to flow even more magnificently. as we are held in the natural wonder that is this body mind that I may view as a wedding ring from that which is eternal itself. And as we work with this, freeing up a little bit more of that connective tissue stuff. This is this time not on the tongue, it's actually coming into the spaces just behind the ears. We're running the permissions here that now it's safe to listen to silence. On the other side of releasing some of that silent treatment stuff, it's safe to listen to silence. It's safe to listen to silence. And as the body-mind drinks that in, I see it releasing the need to cling with any level of hypervigilance, the need to cling as a pattern period, but particularly as it relates to what it is you're receiving through your ears, what it is you're listening to out there, or what it is you're listening to internally in your own thoughts. I see that it's supporting. Sometimes we get really sticky with our thoughts and we provide extra emotion. We provide extra like gripping onto things that, while it can even make the thoughts not just like dry and crunchy and really tough to be with or challenging to be with, but they can also make the thoughts in a way, oh, I lost my wording. I had it right there on the tip of my tongue, but it's gone. I won't force it. It may come back. If it does, I'll say it then. But the releasing essentially the need for the thoughts to be so challenging and sticky and, this is my word, looping or repetitive. Or it's almost like a hyperfixation. And as we bring in more flexibility, isn't quite the right word, resiliency, there we go, resiliency. Bringing that in through actually the kidney one points and the soles of the feet. Bringing that in and through and all the way up to the ears. I see the ears as being able to soften into being able to take in the information inwardly or outwardly that's being offered, but without necessarily having to do it in a way where you're beating yourself up, where you're criticizing yourself or attacking yourself or basically making yourself wrong, overthinking about things as a way to try to hang on. That was a lot of patterns intertwined there. A lot of words to describe that. And as we work with that all, running the permissions, somewhat perhaps apropos, given my just immediate statement there, the permissions, this isn't too much. You're not too much. You are not too much. And related to that, what if you're not so fragile after all? What if you're not so fragile? And that's also going to support the work that we did earlier around the being overly careful. And what if the opposite of being careful wasn't careless? What if the opposite of careful was being carefree? Invitation to breathe and receive. Now linking into the zygoma to pubic crest reciprocal and the anterior longitudinal ligament that runs on the front of the spine. And it's as if when we work with this, we're going to simultaneously work with the conception vessel meridian that runs in that midline, our primary feminine meridian, carries the deepest of nourishment of essence to all things feminine. And we're linking that in particular to the yin yang Weimo meridian. And as we do so, releasing from that yin Weimo meridian, apathy. And then we're going to similarly from the governing vessel meridian in the back body, connected to the release of guilt through this backbone midline, where we work with not just the primary masculine, but also our spine, our antenna of consciousness. And in particular, working with the portion of the spine that represents our reptilian brain, which is often very interested in just survival. Which, thank goodness, has kept us alive. Thank goodness it's kept us alive. And now its job that is already well underway gets to not have such a, again, I'll use the word like a gripping to it. But what if that survival energy actually just got to float and flow through you without you having to overly manage or do anything about it or listen for anything or notice anything, but just simply got to be easeful with it? In a way that it got to flow through and protect you naturally without, again, having to micromanage in any way, shape, or form. And that's linking all into the hips and the IT band on either side of them. And as we go here, we're actually just simply offering stability as the side body can do that. And we're stabilizing your capacity to maneuver your way through things like through birth and through death, through the transitions that might seem like they might be, again, those words, this is too much to bear. And as we release that from the hips, I see it almost as if that part where when a child is born, where the hips just like slip on through. I have not given birth, so the word slip on through may not have been very appropriate there and may not have felt like that at all, or it may have felt like, this is like that last little ejection. And it's actually tying into interesting, when you were born and feeling like because you were being ejected through this way, that there was a sense of, as you were separating out from mom, a sense of rejection, a sense of, oh, I'm one to be rejected. And it's like it set up that pattern of low self-esteem, and it's actually through and around the heart region, including the pericardium, that external lining of the heart. And it goes all the way back to the thoracic region of the spine into T4, T5, a little on either side actually. It even goes up and down to T3, T6. Okay, and I just see this almost like a frozen shell of fear around the spine, carrying the fear of separation, the fear of rejection. And as the shell gets met, and if some of you are extremely visual and you're there with me and you have different imagery, then I'm going to invite you to tune into that imagery. And as you notice it, rather than you trying to make it be something different, I invite you with the imagination of a little one to notice what it transforms into if you give your imagination permission to get wild, to get fantastical with it. What can that holding thing that might be on the back of the heart, what does it want to turn into naturally, spontaneously, all on its own? I actually have a few things that I see happening simultaneously, and when that happens, it usually means a bunch of you are working through it in different ways. And I am as well, so they're all relevant here internally. And as we work with however that transforms for you, I see a softening through again the connective tissue and the fascia layers around that portion of the spine. And as that releases, releasing all the emotions that were stored in there, whether that was a fear of punishment, a fear of rejection, and anything else in between. Fear of abandonment for doing something wrong. And with that, unhooking the identity of I am wrong in whatever way. That I'm going to use the word wrong very, very loosely. So you might have a more specific word that comes to you in that context, so that concept. And it's coming through the heart meridian now, all the way out through the pinky finger. As it does so, I just hear the words, in particular on the left side, heart one, and deep in the armpit. It's not your job to have to hang on to the judgments that other gave you, that others have given you. That protects no one. And it's also not your job to protect yourself in this way anymore by hanging on to your own potential self-judgment that may will likely well have been learned. And as we release the judgment through heart one, through the subscapularis muscle that's deep in that armpit, it also unwinds on both sides all the way through. I'm just holding one at a time. And as that continues to unwind, connective tissue also unwinds through the collarbone region, but on the back body. So, like the back of the collarbone region might be a better way to say that. And it also goes into, oh, I forget the fancy name for it, but the little shelf, the little horizontal shelf of the shoulder blade that divides the supra and infraspinatus muscles. And as that gets acknowledged, there's also the fear that's in the trap muscles just above the supraspinatus, which often gets confused with the supraspinatus muscle. Sometimes we think of them as one and the same. There's a layer of fear, of frozen fear, that comes off of there too. And that also releases all the way, excuse me, all the way up to C6 vertebrae. And on either side of the back of the skull, or back of the neck, I should say, at C6 level, we're releasing the hypervigilance of the need to have eyes in the back of your head. The need to have eyes in the back of your head. Okay, beautiful. Giving that another just gentle breath or two. And we're going to tap that part out here. Again, invitation to breathe and receive in any way that feels right for you. Giving that just another couple of breaths. Excuse me. Now we're actually going to work with the navel, the center of connection, the center of centeredness, the center where lots of information was received from that umbilical cord that kept you alive, that was your connection to life. And as we work with this, working on the other side of the navel as well, with the energy of I belong. I belong here in life. But there is a lot more that's happening around this whole area. So that's just the entry point in. And we actually need to connect it at this time, at this stage and age of life, all the way through to your in utero self. And I'm actually seeing the other end of the cord where it's attached to the placenta. We're tapping into a time in which you were able to really deeply relax into what it meant to have your needs met through this nourishing space, what it was meant to float in oneness, what it meant to be in deepest of intimate connections, where even though there may have been some challenges, there was everything that you needed on demand to traverse those challenges. And somewhere along the way, as we got ejected, we chose to eject ourselves. The baby signaled that whole process. There was some maybe forgetting about that all, maybe some misremembering. And as we support the body mind in returning in this way, I'm going to invite you to imagine, just for now, that all of that connection, trust, potentially even carefree energy that is stored through the midline of the body began potentially to become aware of that through this cord, this connection between you and, well, this thing that you are not all that separate from. So there wasn't all of that, need to cling or manage or grip or brace, as I've spoken to. And as the system begins to take in the wisdom of what it meant at that stage and age of life in utero, imparting to the adult you what it has to offer. And may that provide any level of peace, contentment, ease in any way, shape, or form. May it provide a remembrance of what was so readily available before. And may not actually be missing it all now. And I invite you to breathe and receive. Breathing in this nourishment, the awareness, the wisdom, the remembering of this deep, deep connection to nourishment that provided deep, deep opportunities to receive intimacy. Intimacy being spelled in to me, see. Into myself, I see. Which might have been, although you might hear me say a lot of things around this, might have been the deepest, richest blessing I received from John, the opportunity to learn about intimacy through body talk, through free fall. Into myself, I see. May it offer the richest, kindest of blessings to you and yours. And may this ripple through eternity. With all of my gratitude. And with all of my heart. And all of my blessings, I invite you to drink this in just a little bit more. 1% more, if it's available. It's not too much. You can handle it. You can take it in. The song is called Returning by Jennifer Berezan. And I invite you to take in anything else that feels good. And if you're in that sweet spot, staying right where you are. If you feel the call for a little bit more, inviting in that resource that you found at the beginning. As you receive the opportunity to feel deeply held and embraced by this love. By the love that you had when you were just wee and small. Before you even may have even had this form. At a time where you could richly drink it in. Know that you get to have that here and now. It's still here. Maybe some layers that covered it up for a little bit and disguised it. It's still here. All of life's challenges pointing to what it may have been in the way. What may have been in the way of you realizing this blessing in disguise. What if it all was all just an opportunity for you to learn and grow with all of those challenges? All pointing you back to remembering, to awakening, to the richest of understandings of who and what you truly are. What if? What if you're built to take this in? To take this in richly? In a way that allows you to soar? What if you're built to soar? What if? What if you're built to soar, my friends? What if for just for now, you could look up and see? Looking up as if you're peering up at a mountain. Without needing to see anything in specific. What if it's okay to look up? What if it's okay to look up and see what's here? Every opportunity to look up, an opportunity to be born anew, to be born anew in grace. For every time we take in those challenges of life that feel like we've fallen down. What if every opportunity where we've looked down into the muck and have fallen was simply an opportunity to release some old heaviness that was just in the way of soaring, of looking up? What if? What if it's all been just a call to come alive? Call to become alive with this deep, deep opportunity to live, to breathe, to tolerate this ecstasy, this joy that gets to be here too. It's not missing. It's not missing. Are you? It's here. It's here. Look up. It's here. What a blessing. blessing this life is. What a blessing it is to get to return. Blessing it is to surrender. What a blessing it is to have a good death. Such a joy that I get to be here with you all again in these ways, and I give the deepest of thanks. All of my love. May this be the riches that continue to ripple through your body, your life, this world. Bye for now, y'all. And if anybody would like any additional support, feel free to